Hey, happy Holy Week to you listeners. So glad you're on the podcast today. What an amazing week, this Holy Week. Today is Maundy Thursday, tomorrow Good Friday. Some call Saturday Silent Saturday. And Resurrection Sunday is coming. I cannot wait to worship with you this Sunday. We've got an interesting conversation on the podcast today. Shoot us a line, give us some feedback, let us know you're listening. We'll see you Sunday.
This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Holy Week. Grant, yes. Lada Clam Chowda.
Good morning.
Hey, bud.
Holy Week indeed.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm moving a little slow this morning. It's been a very, very full week thus far, but the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing good. What's new with you and your family?
Not much. We're just kind of in the groove of childcare, parents' day out, work. Wednesday, so I had yesterday, today, and tomorrow off of work. Oh,
excellent.
Yeah, my work, ironically, very progressive work.
Yes.
All the things that you would expect to see with that. So during our company all-hands meeting, they mentioned all of the holidays coming up in March. Ramadan, Persian Lunar New Year, whoever heard of that? Never knew that was even a thing. Easter wasn't on it, wow. Which is funny, but we get...
Yeah,
basically it's Passover really and Easter off, which is kind of funny. Yeah. So I'll take
unnamed. You get the unnamed.
I'll take the unnamed if you give me the time off. Like, I don't care if I'm not mentioned in a PowerPoint, but if I get, I mean, we get the time off. So it's like other March holidays don't get it.
Most so. Important day in the history of the universe. We will not mention.
Yep. You know. I saw a funny TikTok. It's like, how do you know which God is real? It's like, well, it's the one you hate. That's the one that's real. So it's like the one that doesn't even make the PowerPoints that no one wants to talk about.
Well, you're light and darkness there, man. Keep shining.
Doing our best. So, yeah, doing good. What about y'all? Y'all are full baseball because you're going to Birmingham
it's
after
not
this,
just
right?
Baseball. I really have a question for Clay Knight. Bobby. What's your nickname for Clay?
DJ Clay Bebe. We should put the mic
DJ
over there with him.
Clay
he could chime in soon.
It's coming soon. This little arm, this little go-go gadget arm that we have on the podcast is going to just go right
go-go
over.
Go-go gadget. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Did you watch Inspector Gadget?
I do. I mean, I can't recall the movie, but yeah, I remember Inspector. Oh, my gosh.
Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Okay, so last night, Lily had a track meet.
Okay, and you said she's been crushing it last
week.
She's
very fast.
Clay's been saying she's give her some spikes and she'll shave.
Clay is our in-house track expert.
Yep, unpaid.
I mean, he was a college runner.
Yeah.
They called him Forrest over at North Greenville. I don't think they did, but we can.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah. So, Lily had a track meet yesterday.
Yep.
She had to be there at 5:15.
P.M.
Correct.
Okay.
She ran at 9:15.
Because she's just part of all the...
Let me say that again, Grant.
Yeah.
She had to be there at 5:15. She ran at 9:15. It was cold.
If you want to understand what it's like to join the military, that's what it exactly is like. You show up and you'll just stand around for 4 hours and then you'll get a run for 30
seconds.
Run for 30 seconds.
I think you joined the wrong branch at the wrong time.
No, I joined the best branch.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So anyways, she did great last night. It was great. Yeah. Hudson Cherry, my nephew, was over there. Cam Bailey was running, you know, lots of other real lifers. But I think somebody with a brain... needs to organize that thing.
Well, it's hard. You have like one track, right? And so you have probably hundreds of kids running and you just got to wait in line for your relay to go.
Well, I get that, you know, but at Real Life Church, on Easter Sunday, we're going to have three services.
Yeah.
And everybody's not going to be there for all three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got, 8, 9:30, 10. And they're just going to show up and come through. See, how hard is it to say, hey, you're going to run between this hour and a half
block? Are you volunteering yourself to be No, athletic director
All I'm suggesting is common sense.
Yeah.
Life would be so happy with everyone practicing common sense.
Yeah.
So you think about it. Rather than saying, hey, you're going to run sometime in this 4.5 hour block.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they have it already laid out. Like, they know which races
you're
running
actually
going
to run during this 2 hour block.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So you can have a life. Yep. And do homework.
Show up at 8,
and
get
not
warmed
be
up,
absolutely run, exhausted when you... Anyways, I'm done. I'm done with that. Yes, we're headed to Birmingham today. I'm headed to Birmingham today. CHS baseball team's playing tonight.
Is it a tournament?
It is a tournament. And they're playing some really good competition. Two games tomorrow, a game Saturday, and I'm drive back.
Whereabouts
Easter Sunday.
Whereabouts in Hoover? Birmingham? Hoover.
Hoover. Do you know Hoover?
No, I played soccer tournaments in Birmingham a decent amount, and I feel like it
Shake
was
it off.
Always...
Shake it off.
It was like, I think they were called like, maybe, yeah, I forget the city.
You shaved your head.
I did shave my head.
You
because
shaved
of soccer.
Your
and
head.
I'm very impressionable when it comes to...
Take your hat off. Let me see it again. You missed a spot.
No, I didn't.
You went low, too low somewhere. Or it's just your hair's receding on the right side more than it is the left. Have
is
you
really?
Noticed that? Yeah, the look on your face now making you feel really...
I mean, my hairline is probably not the greatest.
You actually have a really perfect head for a shaved head.
I did shave my head. My wife and I, we watched the... It was like a mini series on Netflix, like about David Beckham and his life.
Uh-huh. Soccer player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who...
Check it off.
Give him more respect. I respect David Beckham as a soccer player. But so he had all the hairdos back in the day. Like, and he shaved his head once.
That is a very soccer thing to do, isn't it?
And so I'm watching the documentary. I was like, man, I need to get back into soccer. Like, there's moments where I'm like playing soccer a few times a week, and it's just so good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, there's just something that can.
For
can't.
Sure.
So I was like, well, I'm going to go to the soccer fields tomorrow, shaved my heads. So I went yesterday, shaved my head before I went.
When I was in high school, one of my best buds played soccer.
Yeah.
And I would always be like, swinging an invisible bat in the air,
mm-hmm.
like for baseball.
Yeah.
Like I was just, just consumed with it. So I was always, and he started making fun of me.
Yeah.
He's like, what if I started just kicking the ground? Like I'm kicking an invisible ball and he started kicking, just making fun of me.
It's like the golf swing. People do that too. Just like invisible golf swings in the kitchen, right. Like the dad invisible golf swing. Like.
Yes. Yes. Elliot's got a basketball tournament this weekend. Okay. Parker's got, little league practice. So it's full on, and we will miss these days. One of these days we will miss these days, but it's fun to cheer the kids on. As long as they love it, I want to cheer them on.
Yeah.
There's so many cutthroat kind of, take your 7-year-old to 4-hour practices and, all the things. Enough of that. It's Holy Week.
Holy Week, yes.
I've got some Easter quotes for you. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I think so. I was expecting like cheesy, hoppy Easter quotes.
This is like gear your heart toward Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday.
Yep.
So you just give me your feedback.
Okay.
Feedback. All right. Here's one. Jesus' resurrection proves that heaven is not a disappointment we'll have to settle for. It means we'll stop settling and start living.
Mm.
Ray Ortland said that.
I like Ray Ortland.
Let me say the quote again. Jesus' resurrection proves that heaven is not a disappointment we'll have to settle for. It means we'll stop settling and start living.
Mm. It's kind of like what we talked about this past Sunday. Like, heaven not going to be this... place of, which I thought as a kid, like, oh, all right, clouds and open my Bibles and just read. All right. Yeah, I guess it's not hell, but that doesn't sound too great. But
I wish we could take a survey of the congregation.
Yeah.
How many of you before today thought of heaven as a physical place, the new earth?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to think about, kind of cool to think about, but I like that. Ray Ortland, he's retired, right? Because he's in Nashville.
He was the pastor at Emmanuel Baptist in Nashville.
Yeah,
He is retired from that post. All right, here's another one. If Christ is not risen, nothing else matters.
Mm.
And if Christ is risen, nothing else matters.
Mm.
That is Jaroslav Pelkin.
Mm. Now, what Paul says, if the resurrection never happens, we of all people are the most to be pitied.
Yeah. The argument of, well, if Jesus didn't, if none of this is true, then at least I've lived a good life. The Bible says, no, you're an idiot for living the way you did. Right? Like, why would you choose that path? A path of self-denial.
Yeah.
A path of sacrificing for others. Why would you choose that path?
Yeah.
If there was not a king showing you that that is the good way, if you're not storing up reward for your sacrifice, why would you? Okay,
here's another one.
I'll read that one again. If Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. Tim Keller said Easter proves that Christmas was real. All right, here's one. You ready? Josh Butler said, I'm getting these quotes from a pastor in Arizona that I follow, Luke Simmons.
Okay.
We often think of Good Friday as defeat and Easter Sunday as victory, but the Gospels present Friday as victory and Sunday as vindication.
Yeah, he does say it is finished on Good Friday, so that's victory. Like a completion of work.
Victory. Vindication. What do you think he means by vindication there, Grant?
Vindicated means to, I mean, Jesus was wrongfully accused and murdered, sacrificed.
Yes.
And so then the resurrection is the vindication of, I mean, he's new life. He's resurrected. He conquered death. So all of that false accusations, and what
wrong,
was wrong, vindicated, wrong. Walking out of the tomb. Victorious.
I'm innocent. I am the Son of God. Yep. I am the glorious
vindicated.
One. Vindicated. You just crucified the King of Kings. Now I'm walking out of the grave.
Yes.
Vindicated.
Vindicated. We should do like, what? Vexation.
Yeah, right.
Vindication.
Yeah. Every now and then there's a swing and a miss. Vexation. The whispering of vexation was a swing and a miss.
My wife wasn't a huge fan of me whispering in her ear at service. So, vexation.
I'm sorry, Lauren Putty Louder. All right, here's Jared Wilson. If the resurrection isn't true, we should all stay home. Religion makes a lame hobby. That's like what we were saying.
Yep. I like that. Everything hinges on the resurrection.
Yes. Here's a good one. Dan DeWitt. The incarnation means he became like us. The resurrection means we'll become like him.
I like that one. That's simple, easy to grasp.
The incarnation means he became like us. The resurrection means we'll become like him. For our listeners, Grant, what is the incarnation?
God dwelling in the flesh. So Jesus becoming flesh, taking on human form.
We're so familiar with it.
Yes.
That we don't marvel at it.
Yes.
But it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That God became a man.
Yeah. Someone mentioned in our Bible study last night, they listen to the, like, I'm not sure if you're familiar who like Jackie Hill Perry is.
Yeah, sure.
They're just talking about, she was just marveling at the scene, the story of Jesus and the woman of the well. Like, Jesus is just like exhausted and sweating during this engagement and then ministers to the woman. But she was just marveling at like Jesus sweat. Like, Jesus was tired. Jesus probably had blisters on his feet from walking. Just all these like things that we deal with that the Son of God himself dealt with, which is always just kind of, can kind of gloss over that.
Here's one by Beth Moore. The power of the resurrection means that nothing but the tomb is meant to be empty.
It's the only thing.
No more emptiness, friends. Your cup can run over.
Came to give us life and have it abundantly.
Only the tomb is empty so that you can be full. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. Not easy. Not all roses, but sustained joy. Okay, here's a little pithy one. This is kind of clever. Andy Stanley.
Pithy.
Great leadership guru. Terrible. Theologian.
Okay.
Is terrible too strong of a word to describe Andy Stanley's theology today? I don't think so. All right, here we go. I can't turn the volume off of my iPad. I'm sorry if it keeps dinging in the microphone here. I'm getting texts
so
and
popular.
All the things. Yeah, that's right. Nobody expected nobody.
Yeah, that's good.
Nobody expected nobody.
That's clever.
All right, here's Charlie Dates. Do you know who Charlie Dates is?
No.
Charlie Dates is an African-American pastor in Chicago, and he might be the greatest preacher in the nation.
That's bold.
Yeah.
Like, better than John Piper, who you have pictures of in your office?
A picture? Are there multiple pictures?
I can find another one. Yeah. I bet there's another one.
Yeah.
It's probably on the back of his book. I mean,
because that's different.
Yeah.
If I have a picture of John Piper in my office versus pictures.
Are you confident that there's not a second picture of John Piper?
I have pictures of my kids and my wife in my office.
I understand. There's a lot of.
If you find it, you can have it.
Okay. Picture. Pardon.
I have a picture singular of John Piper, and I have a picture of Louis Giglio.
Yes.
But I have pictures of my family.
Yes.
And one of these days, I'm going to have a picture of DJ Clay Bebe somewhere. Somewhere.
Yes. With the.
If Clay,
lovely stash.
If Clay stays at Real Life until Parker graduates from high school, I'll have a giant photo of Clay in my study.
Okay.
All right. There it is.
Mark it in the show notes.
It'll be visible for everyone that steps foot in my study. And they'll be like, who is that guy with that mustache in that picture? And I'll be like, that is the legendary
Clay Bebe.
Student pastor, Clay Bebe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. All right. Let's see. Here we go. Jesus didn't do weddings. He did funerals too. Okay, excuse me. Jesus didn't just do weddings, like in John 2.
Yep.
He did funerals too, John 11.
Yep.
Well, sort of. Seems like every funeral Jesus attended, the dead got up. Charlie Dates.
It's like a joke or something.
He's an African-American preacher, so he's preaching that with some swagger.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't just do weddings, like in John 2. He did funerals too. Well, sort of. Seems like every funeral Jesus attended, the dead got up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you're supposed to, like, you
gotta. Amen.
You gotta get more than that.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, man.
My culture is slightly different. And I'm trying to.
I would love if we had an African-American culture in the preaching hour.
Yes.
Did you notice how I said hour?
Yeah.
That'd be good, man.
Amen.
Susan and I, years ago, before we lived in New York City, after we got married, we were living in Louisville, Kentucky. We were driving to Tennessee for me to preach at First Baptist on the weekends. She was pregnant. We took a weekend off. And we attended this African-American church around the corner in Old Louisville, South 3rd Street, where we lived. And we pulled up in the driveway, and I was like, oh, Susan, this is an African-American church. And she's like, okay, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's just going to be a long morning.
Yeah. You know?
And she's like, no, it's okay. I was like, I'm here for it. She's like, so we went in. And before I got to my seat, I had seven hugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sat down and we looked at the worship program. And Susan was like, well, this doesn't look very long. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. So, like, you know, the announcements, 15 minutes of announcements, you know. and at this particular church, they had their guests stand up and introduce themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Real seeker friendly there, I guess. And so I had the misfortune of telling the congregation that,
first time
that we stood up, but then telling them I normally am preaching in Tennessee on Sundays, and so then the next thing that happens is the pastor comes to the podium after I introduce myself, and he's got his glasses down on his nose, and he says, it is a tradition anytime we have a visiting pastor to have him join us on the podium. So like in 2 seconds, this lady with white gloves is standing next to me. And she's like, are you going to join the pastor on the podium? And I'm like, I guess I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I grab my Bible because I'm thinking I might be preaching after all this morning.
Preaching from the hip.
And so as I'm walking up, I'm kind of like terrified that I might be asked to preach and kind of excited about how this is going to go down. Of course, I wasn't asked to preach, but I sat in between the pastor who preached a phenomenal expositional sermon. in between the choir who were fanning themselves. You know, I don't know that anybody like totally fell out, you know, in the spirit that morning, but there were some that were like sitting while others were standing and fanning themselves.
Yeah.
It was one, a highlight of an experience.
That's awesome.
For me. Yeah.
It was I don't great. Think I've ever been to an African American
church.
Bro,
we gotta go.
I know.
We gotta go. There was one other highlight. I mean, this is top three Christian experiences in a worship gathering for me. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I was serving as college minister. Hey,
shout out.
College minister, Grant Louder, Clam Chowder. I was serving as a college minister while I was in seminary, part-time. Hey. I was working at Starbucks, full-time-ish. Part-time Starbucks. Anyways, we were in Louisville, Kentucky area. John Piper was preaching at an African-American church in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
We loaded up a van of college students and drove over. We were up in the balcony. It was absolutely packed. You know, 95% African Americans and 5% white folks sprinkled in. And John Piper gets up and quotes Romans 8, quotes it as though he wrote it and was like preaching it to the congregation. And the electricity in the worship center as people responded to him quoting Romans 8, I could have died and gone to heaven.
Wow.
It was so holy and powerful.
Mm.
I'll never forget it.
That's awesome.
Here's some more quotes. You ready?
Yep. Let's do it.
You are not suffering from anything that a good resurrection can't fix.
Mm. Come on now. Put a little resurrection on
D.A. Carson. You are not, and D.A. Carson would have said it like, you are not suffering from anything that a good resurrection can't fix. You guys have to.
Is that how you're going to do your Easter sermon?
No, but you have to pull up some D.A. Carson on the YouTube. On the YouTube.
And, the tubes.
Yep. Okay. Mike Williams, in the resurrection, life puts death to death. Mm-hmm. It's like John Owen, the great Puritan. There's a book somewhere right above your head that, no, it's where is it? The death of death and the death of Christ. John Owen. It's somewhere on that shelf right up there. The death of death in the death of Christ. All right, here's another one. Dr. Tony Evans. You know who Tony Evans is?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's so good. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. He was just getting started.
Let's go.
Yes. Here's Tony Merida. You know Tony Merida?
I do not.
Do you know that name, Tony Merida? He's over in pastors in North Carolina, Raleigh area.
Okay.
He's a great dude. Genesis ends with Joseph's death. Deuteronomy ends with Moses' death. Joshua ends with Joshua's death. And the Gospels end with Jesus' resurrection.
Mm.
And that changes everything.
Wow.
I'll read that one again because that's good. Genesis ends with Joseph's death. Deuteronomy ends with Moses' death. Joshua ends with Joshua's death. The Gospels end with Jesus' resurrection.
Mm.
And that changes everything.
Mm.
Woo! I like that one.
Mm.
That might be one of my favorite ones that I've read so far.
Why that one?
Because it shows this overarching scope of the insufficiency of every leader.
Mm.
Right? It's like every one of these deaths of every one of these spiritual leaders for God's people. Like, we needed a living king.
Mm.
We needed someone to reverse death. You know, it's just, I love when people can trace the whole Bible. That's what I've been doing in the work series.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah.
The work series.
Yeah, that's what we talked about last night. I think a few weeks ago, I wanted anyone who was at Wednesday night to really understand, like, the depth of Easter. And so, like, I mean, Easter starts, like, Genesis 3, like, with the first prophecy of Jesus coming in Genesis chapter 3. And so, just painting that picture. So, yeah, I love connecting everything to Jesus.
Yeah, man. I look forward to, in the new building, you know, potential Good Friday service, you know, those kinds of things, you know. Maybe a sunrise service out on the outdoor amphitheater. That would be...
I was
thinking about that this week.
Another thing to throw in, we did this back when I was in Jacksonville. We did, I don't know if people Call Saturday anything, like Dark Saturday or something. We got together, and it was really creative. The guy who was leading it, like, wrote up kind of a fake script that he, like, a conversation he would think the disciples would have been having on, like, Saturday. Like, you just witnessed your Savior crucified, and then it's Saturday.
Yeah.
And you're just observing the Sabbath, and no resurrection has happened yet. You just witnessed Jesus die.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what were they feeling? So it's kind of this cool, somber, and it was like this script of, you know, doubt and just anger and kind of confusion of what was going on. And so it's kind of how we can all kind of feel at those moments.
That just came alive to me, what you're describing.
Like, what were they feeling?
Right.
Because we just skip from crucified and then, oh, resurrection.
Right. Really there's meditating like on that.
24 hours of just, God, man, where is God?
Yeah.
Which.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as he explains the gospel, he's very clear to say he was buried.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, man, when you, I mean, when you stand by the grave of somebody when they're buried, that moment of finality, that moment of like that empty, hollow feeling of death. I've heard of families like turning all the lights off in their house all weekend from Good Friday till Resurrection Sunday. I love that.
That's cool.
I don't know that we've ever done it. You know, it's like, I don't want to do something like just like in a kitschy way, you know, but like, but I really like that.
Yeah.
That idea. You just turn them all, like literally no lights in your house all Easter weekend.
Yeah.
That would help guide your meditation.
Yeah.
What do you think if like on the Saturday in the new building, if we had a service where we invited people to come in and sit and all the lights were off and nobody said anything?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Any sort of guided thoughts or just come sit?
Maybe like the scripture.
Yeah.
On the screen, kind of rotating, like, of what happened, you know, when darkness came over the earth. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I like of, like, letting people step into, like, this, like, how are you feeling necessarily with, like, your relationship? Do you feel like God, do you feel like the disciples would have felt on Saturday? Like, where is God in my life? Where is... I feel so alone. I feel abandoned right now. Like kind of stepping in Saturday being almost like a day of that, of like, holy cow, what were the disciples feeling? We feel that same way at times as well. Come, and then obviously we point to the Sunday resurrection.
I think I take so much for granted.
Yeah.
Like I think like we've had so many prompts this morning to think about Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, essentially, we've had, like, shepherds shepherding us with these quotes, you know? And I think that's why my mind, thinking about Saturday, like, my mind is prepared for that.
Yeah.
So, I think if we did something like that, we would need to provide some prompting, some shepherding, some guidance, rather than just come in and sit.
Come sit.
No, I'm trying to think of myself, like, as a college student.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have been, like, you know, very unguided in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
My mind would have gone 100 different places.
I
wouldn't have had the discipline to meditate on and think on. Yeah. So some sort of guided.
Yeah. I feel like it grounds everything. That's why I'm trying to observe like Good Friday more as well.
Yeah.
Cause I know just culturally Easter can be kind of can be at some points just kind of, okay, get your pastels on, you know, buy that new dress. Let's go to church. Let's take a picture in front of the...
Don't make me feel bad about my clothes and my picture, Grant.
Do you dress...
Here's the deal.
I might wear a blazer.
Here's the deal.
Are you wearing like pink shoes?
Family of six. The family, like everybody in the family, I don't think we've ever... I may be wrong about this. Susan can verify. But I don't think we've ever, all of us, got like Easter clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm becoming a little more sentimental about the time going by fast. True story. I don't know if I told you this on the podcast already.
I don't know.
Last Wednesday, Lily canceled doing childcare for a community group because we were all going to be home together. So I was going to cook. We're going to eat. Literally on my way home to, from the office, I called my sister. I said, would you come take pictures of our family? Like,
that's awesome.
Not being dressed up, just being together, you know? Yeah. And she couldn't because she had community group or something, you know? And we didn't, I mean, we didn't do pictures, but it was just like that.
Yeah.
This time is so short. Mm-hmm. Well, so anyways, I don't like last Easter, I felt this, oh, we've got such an opportunity here to really have fun with this epic celebration as a family. I got a couple of fashionistas in the family, maybe one named Jack Wyatt, you know, anyways, I don't know that he's quite a fashionista, but he appreciates good threads. Right.
Yeah.
And Elliot, I would say, is a shoe, like is obsessed with shoes. So anyways, this is a short story turning into a long story. So I apologize. But this year we were all getting Easter gear.
Nice. Matching?
No, not matching. So like I am interested to see how it all coordinates or clashes when we all get together, because it might be a mess, you know, but we're all getting Easter threads. And I do have a point that I'm trying to make in all this. Well, you were kind of making fun of everybody.
Well, I'll be wearing those too.
I'll be wearing
a nice blazer with some pastel Ralph Lauren button down that I'm going to look.
I will say this, man. I look forward to seeing you all dressed up and, you know, seeing with your bald head.
Yeah, I might have to. Yeah, we'll see.
You've got great hair and you just shaved your head.
I did, yes.
Yeah, every dude that has bad hair like me is going, you know. Anyways.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, what do you got to say about your hair?
No, I was going to make a reference that no one would get. Like you mentioned, baseball players, right. No one knows who they are. Right. I was going to mention a soccer player.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah, just so yeah, check it out. Move on.
Okay, so we are all doing, I'm actually doing all white with a blue coat.
Oh, wow.
And so we popped into this.
White shoes?
Not white shoes.
Okay.
No. But we popped into this thing, into this clothing store, and I'm asking the dude. And he was great. He was helpful. And I didn't go into the store thinking I'm going to do all white with like a coat. And I did want to do white pants, but I thought I'd do like a colored shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And man, we just went from something really holy to something really shallow. Right. Anyways. So he's literally like measuring me or like, you know, like straightening my collar or something like this. And Susan and I are asking for his input on like this all white. And he's like, well, I told him I'm a pastor. I would just want to have fun with, you know, Easter. And he said, well, you don't want to, you know, all white. You definitely don't want the white shoes. You know, you don't want to be all Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, you almost just changed my whole desire to wear white pants. You know, it's like, yeah, you are right, sir. I do not want to look like Benny Hinn, you know. Anyways, I don't think I will.
You're not going to hit anyone with a Holy Spirit fireball mid-service and the whole pew.
Send your money and we'll mail you a cloth with some water. And
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm excited because, you know, there's a sense in, like, I grew up in a culture where, you know, you wore your Sunday best to honor the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah.
So that's like a tradition of man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited that my family is excited that they're all kind of getting new threads for Easter. We want to get some pictures. We're still trying to figure that out.
We're excited about that too. I know I can sound like what's an Easter version of a Scrooge? Like, ooh, that's Christmas, but
what is an Easter version of a Scrooge?
I am very cynical, and so I will be wearing the Easter. I want the pictures for my family. I'm right there with you. So yeah, I think
that's why I love being your friend, is I like chipping away at your cynicism.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just chip away at your joy or something. Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, looking forward to this. Okay, let me ask you this. We'll just do one section on the pod today.
Okay.
Any takeaways from the work series for you?
Man. Holistically, yeah, I think I think the way you structured it and the way you presented it was just extremely helpful. And maybe, if I'm honest, things that I didn't like weren't necessarily extremely novel to me. I'm like, I knew God designed work and, you know, Colossians 3:23, these kind of infamous work verses. So I think it was great to be reminded and to just to be recentered on like my work is, it is fallen, it is corrupted, but it is also like this kind of weird mix of it is God ordained right now. And there is this going to be this perfected work, which I think you mentioned last Sunday. It's cool to kind of enter into that like imaginative, like what is that going to look like when Isaiah is talking about like lions aren't eating sheep anymore, like animals aren't hunting each other.
Yeah,
weapons are turned to plows. And so like there's no war, there's no, so we're going to be like farming land. I remember my dad kind of like saying like, imagine like just being in heaven and Jesus is like, there's this universe over here. I need a team to go explore it for my name.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if that's like theologically correct, but I'm like, it's gotta be like something like we're doing this good work, not just sitting in pews, fanning ourselves, listening to just, all right, it's just one sermon after the next, but doing this work, whether it be, you know, the economy of heaven, not sure what that's going to look like. Yeah. If they're going to need any sort of advertisements in heaven, maybe, maybe not. I can work in Jesus selling his new Air Force 2s, 2.0s, selling his new shoes in heaven. But
let's link to the, in the show notes, let's link to the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn.
Yeah.
I didn't get that out in the brain dump. But that book will stir your imagination on heaven.
And like we judge angels, which is insane to think about. We get rewards in heaven, which you're talking about. So I'm like, what is going, like, am I going to have my own home, living quarters? I'm going to be a new creation. There's
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
So I'm like, am I going to have this, like, what is that going to look like? The streets are paved with gold, which is like the most precious thing we have here. And yet that's the streets of heaven. So I'm just like, so my imagine can go wild, and I try to like submit it to theology and what scripture says. I'm like, are there going to be other unexplored universes that we just kind of take dominion over? And Jesus is just continually, and we're just with him. Like,
you know, what's so interesting, armor. And, oh, I love how you're, your imagination on fire right now. In my previous church in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I was pastoring, we had a large, senior population. And many, like, they just wanted me to preach on heaven. And I honestly thought, how boring.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's preach on something practical. And then I suffered a little bit, you know, as you spend some time in the ICU, you know, sucking wind, you know, like, and then you're like, no, And meditating on heaven is so, so good for the soul.
Yes.
And Paul instructs us, think on things above, not on things of the earth, you know? And I'm thankful. Good. Okay. All right. Hey, you had one, you were asking me a question this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So let's close out with this little, you got a little question. What do you think about?
Yeah. So not sure how active listeners are on social media, but there was this viral kind of screenshot and kind of from Elevation Church, they said that in their Easter invitations, they were not using certain words like resurrection, Calvary, or blood of Jesus in their Easter invitation. So you clarified, we were talking before this, I think I was like saying in their sermon, they're not going to mention it. So I was wrong. Not sure what they're going to mention in their Easter sermon. We can listen and find out. But in their invitations, they're refraining from using such words like resurrection, Calvary, or the blood of Jesus. So this went viral. People were reacting, like I think a lot of people do, to kind of some of the sermons that come out and just kind of reacting and kind of being critical of it. So I wanted to know your thoughts. What are your thoughts on invitations that are specifically not using words?
Let's like, slice this up in three ways.
Yes.
You ready? Three ways to slice this up. First, let's talk about the issue at hand, the actual invites to Easter.
Yes.
Then let's talk about Pastor Stephen Furtick's preaching.
Yes.
Then let's talk about Elevation Worship.
Yes.
Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
What's your favorite Elevation Worship song?
I get them all mixed up. Okay. I listen to all of them.
Okay.
Like Hillsong, Elevation.
Yep.
I think Maverick City is probably the only one I can like, oh, that's Maverick City.
Well, and they often collaborate, right?
They collab, so.
I'm in the exact same boat you are. I don't have a good enough command on their music to tell you what my favorite Elevation Worship song is. But I will say very clearly, I have been greatly edified.
Same.
Through some of their worship music.
Same.
I've not done an analytical survey of their worship songs to judge the theological accuracy of their songs. Generally speaking, when I'm singing a worship song, I'm singing it through my theological filter.
Yep, likewise.
Right? So, like, I'm not going to sing something I don't believe.
Yeah.
But I also understand that everybody doesn't have the theological education that their pastor has. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think it's safe to say that many people are being discipled by the songs, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's important to give careful thought to the kinds of songs that we're singing. And without going down a rabbit trail, I would say the ancient hymns that we sing are theologically rich and are the vast majority of the hymns are really good for discipling your mind and heart in the way of Jesus. Mm. They're really good for a meditation upon the gospel. And Grant, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the vast majority of hymns have some sort of meditation on heaven.
Yeah.
They have some sort of meditation on Jesus coming again.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why they're so rich is they go deep in the gospel, and they always end with Christ returning, Christ reigning, the resurrection, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it is important what you listen to. It's not unimportant. And if you're not sure whether or not a song is theologically accurate and is helping you think God's thoughts after him, then take a look. Yeah. Send it to your community group leader. Send it to one of your pastors and say, hey, I love this song, but I don't even know what this line means.
Yeah.
What does this line mean?
Yeah.
You know, is this just like poetry? Is this just imagery? Is this like propositional theological truth?
Mm.
Like what's going on in this song, right? So all that to be said, I enjoy Elevation Worship.
Yes.
I would assume, as I would with the vast majority of modern worship songs, there's going to be some Elevation Worship songs that I would say, that's probably like, I don't want you believing what that song says because it's not true.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So there's that.
Yep.
Pastor Stephen Furtick, he's a very controversial figure.
Yep.
Because he has a lot of, he's very, very, very popular.
Yes.
So let me say a principle that most of our listeners are probably aware of, but when you are very successful and end up in the public eye, you will be highly criticized.
Mm-hmm.
Success always invites criticism. Now, whether or not you're defining what Pastor Stephen Furtick is doing as success, at least from a secular perspective, their numerical growth and their and the influence that they have in the global church is significant.
Very successful.
Very significant.
In that regard.
Yeah. They're influencing through books, through worship songs, through conferences, through all, you know, through his downloads, through his YouTube, you know, lots of people know who he is.
Yeah.
Lots of people will share a reshare on Instagram of some sort of inspirational sermon, right? So let's just acknowledge the more successful you are in the world's eyes, the more you'll be criticized.
Yes.
It just invites the people out of the woodwork to tell you everything that you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's a target on your back. If you don't want to be criticized, go do something insignificant.
Yeah.
And don't be successful at it. And nobody's going to care, right? So there's that principle at play. Pastor Stephen, in some conservative theological circles, he's been criticized because of his relationship with T.D. Jakes.
Mm-hmm.
He's very open about T.D. Jakes being one of his mentors. And T.D. Jakes, many conservative evangelical scholars would criticize T.D. Jakes' theology on the Trinity.
Okay.
The way he articulates the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God, one God, three persons. That's just a little introduction. You can go read more about Pastor Stephen Furtick. Pastor Stephen Furtick is extraordinarily gifted in communication.
Yeah.
He is extremely charismatic. When he communicates, he commands a presence. He mm-hmm. commands your attention. He often weaves music into his preaching, and music has a strong emotive result.
Yeah.
Right? In my observation, and I don't listen to his sermons on podcast. I don't tune into his YouTube.
Yeah.
So I've not done a good data evaluation of Pastor Stephen Furtick's sermons. But the little bit that I've been exposed to, he will often make a really strong point that's not grounded in accurate biblical interpretation.
Yes.
So, as inspiring as it may be to listen to him, the pastors that you listen to preaching and teaching God's word, whether you know it or not, are teaching you and discipling you on how to read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a pastor preacher who's making a really powerful point but has not accurately interpreted the word, like if the point that they're making is not found in the text from an accurate interpretation, then they're leading you down a path of interpreting God's word in your own Bible reading that's going to lead you into confusion,
mm-hmm.
not into clarity. And if you're not careful, will lead you to treat God's word like a good luck charm.
Yeah.
Reading the Bible out of context and all of these things. Now, that being said, I've heard Pastor Stephen Furtick preach plenty of great points out mm-hmm. of the Bible text.
And yeah, to his credit, those aren't going to be the ones that people are observing. Like you said, it's going to be the one time he has the verbal slip up to where he's like, oh, he said this, he's a false preacher, he's, you know. So I acknowledge that, and I'm definitely guilty of that in my past as well. So definitely.
Now, some of
that.
The other things that people will, you know, criticize him for, 10 years ago or less, he bought like $1 million house,
mm-hmm.
built $1 million house, something, you know, like, well, that was very controversial, you know, like here's this guy, you know, and so he had to defend that, you know, he had to defend, well, I'm building the house on my book sales, not on the salary from the church, you know, like that kind of thing. Right. And then others have said, like in the service, that they actually plant people in the front, like to stand up and, you know, and do all those things. Well, it's easy to have a harsh criticism on that. Right. Like, okay, those eight guys that are standing applauding right now were planted and mm-hmm. asked to do that in the service. Right. Well, I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but in Billy Graham crusades during the altar call, there were people planted all throughout the arenas that during the altar call, they were there
the
to
first.
Get up
yeah.
to walk down. And part of it was to cultivate
mm-hmm.
an environment where people felt comfortable to respond.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not defending having somebody stand up and applaud in your worship service, like planting someone there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if we're going to criticize Stephen Furtick for doing that, like, hey, Billy Graham did the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, mm-hmm. like, let's just be careful.
Consistent.
You know, right? So, you know, I'm not a fan of manipulation in worship services. Like, and I, you know, like our worship service is not going to be smoking lights. Like, we're going to have natural light. We want to see the people we're worshiping with, all those things. I am, however, in favor of engaging God's people with all of their emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I don't want to, out of fear of manipulating the emotions, not engage all the emotions.
Yeah.
I would rather overdo it a little bit than underdo it a little bit. Mm. Why is that? That's because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. So I would rather overdo it a little bit. I'd rather spill a little bit out of the cup, you know, because I'm going crazy. You know, it's like the woman that breaks open the vial, you know, of perfume and pours it over. She was so criticized for using something so valuable, like, you know, on Jesus's nasty feet, right? On his dirty feet, right? Like with her hair, you know? And so I think that's the kind of worship that the Father delights in, is this unhindered, undignified, unrestrained by fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
Worship, you know. Anyways, okay, so that was Stephen Furtick's preaching.
Yes.
Right. I'm fascinated by him.
Yeah.
And as a communicator, as a preacher, I often look to him and I often feel, here's what I feel. I often feel like, how lame is my preaching? I'm confident I've got the accurate point of the text, and I'm not as passionate about it as he is when he doesn't have the accurate point of the text, right? Yeah. Okay. It sounds very Pharisaical for me to say I have the accurate point of the text and he doesn't, right? So I don't mean that as a blanket statement. I just mean anecdotally, speaking anecdotally. Okay, finally, the position you came to, the question you came to.
The invites.
I feel like you can't talk about elevation without doing what we just did.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I mean, they're like a multimedia conglomerate.
It's everywhere. So it's everywhere.
You got to address.
If you follow any preacher on Instagram, you're going to, like, a Stephen Furtick video is going to pop up.
Yep.
Right? At some point in time, right?
Yep.
I'm showing my age saying Instagram and not YouTube or TikTok.
Boomer.
Right. Thank you. No, don't do that. Don't do that to me.
Whatever you are.
Thank you. So in their Easter invites, Elevation Church didn't mention
Calvary, resurrection, or the blood of Christ.
Right. So let's find out, like, how did people even know that?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because, like, church gurus and training groups and leadership groups are looking to Elevation to say, how are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just assuming that Elevation didn't, like, come out and blast that, but that somebody's looking to them to say, how are you guys doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Train us how, because you're effective. It trains how. I don't know how it came about.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. With it being the invitations, I don't think I have a problem with it per se. I think my question is always, what is the point of church? Like, I understand, we have these phrases of, like, seeker friendly. We have these phrases, like, in that article, Stephen Furtick and Elevation not wanting people to feel alienated. I understand that. Like, yeah, Calvary, sure, I'm okay if we never even said that word again. Like, just Jesus was crucified on a hill. Like, do we need to say Calvary? Blood of Christ and invitations, I get not using that verbiage. So I'm curious to hear, I'll probably actually listen to their full Easter sermon. I'm curious to hear what their sermon is going to be. Because resurrection, I'm like, cool, yeah, even in a sermon, like, what if we never said resurrection, but he rose from the dead? Something very more common tongue that a wide variety of people are going to understand. I'm all for that. I think I'm more of, like, what is the point of church? You don't want people to feel alienated, but that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Convict you of your sin, make you feel almost like, holy cow, I'm a sinner in this world. I need, you know, a savior. And so there is some sort of, like, alienation there of, I am separated from God. And so the point of church, that's my question of, like, is the point of church? I think I am seeing a trend, and maybe it's, like, maybe led by, like, the Elevation types of, like, it just gets more and more watered down, more and more watered down, more and more seeker friendly.
Mm.
And I'm all for, like, it all can come and just, so it's just this like kind of this fine line of, you know, yeah, okay, but there's commands that Paul gives in like 1 Corinthians 14 of like, whatever your belief is, and if people still speak in tongues today, of like, well, don't speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter, because people are going to think you're crazy. So there's like these specific commands for believers. And so I think I'm just always kind of like, what is the point of gathering? Like, this is the church, is God's people gathering to worship and edify him. Is it, how much do we cater to, okay, well, there could be non-believers in the crowd, so let's kind of cater to non-believers, or should be like, don't care if there's non-believers in the crowd. This church service, whether we know that there's going to be people inviting their family and people coming for the first time in maybe a few years coming to church, don't care about that. Like, church is for the preaching of God's word. It's for God's people. And so that's where I'm always kind of like, I think that's where I'm at of like, man, like, I don't want, like, you saw some videos of like people's Christmas Eve service where it was like, it's just like a full blown concert. And I'm like,
yeah.
I want to retain some reverence and some like, no, I'm going to say the blood of Christ, and maybe not in an invite. So, I think it just kind of senses this like watering down of like, let's not make our sermons too, let's not talk about sin too much. Let's still preach, you know, salvation, but let's not talk about sin. So it's just kind of, it smells of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's where I'm curious of, and this could be like a whole podcast episode again, like the point of church. What is the point of Sunday gathering?
I like
evangelistic, or is it for the pastor, you shepherding the flock of God and teaching the flock of God so that they are equipped, so that they can go out, just like our graphic says, so that we can go out and share the gospel in our workplaces and be the light.
Yeah.
And then convert, evangelize, bring people into the church, they're baptized, and now they're in, you know, they're, so there's just like, that's where I'm at.
I really like what you said there, almost in passing, of it smells.
Smells. Like, I don't know.
Because, well, I think what you're doing is discerning.
Yeah. Trying
like,
to.
Yeah. Well, when you said it smells like, you're being discerning, right? I mean, that's what the Bible would say. Like, you just modernized discernment by saying it smells like, of. Right?
I'm not going to say discernment.
I'm
going to say smells
of. But the caution there, I think, is wise. You're just being thoughtful, right? You're like, okay, I want to think about this. I don't want to just approve of this. There's two things you brought up that I'm hearing. One is, what's the point of church?
Mm-hmm.
Two is, what do I think about their choices in the way they promoted their Easter services?
Yeah.
And those are related ideas. Yeah. That's where your question, what's the point of church, came up, right?
Yeah. And to add, then the invite's disingenuous if, like, you're not going to use those terms on the invite, but then they're going to come to Easter service and you're going to say blood of Christ, resurrection, like all these things. I'm like, well, that just seems kind of like false advertising to some extent.
And you're in advertising.
And I'm in advertising, to where we're not going to use these terms.
Yeah.
But if you actually look on the back of the bottle, all of these ingredients are in there, and it's going to make you feel so uncomfortable as you're sitting in your seat in your white.
Yes,
suit.
So it's right. And my white shoes, my Benny Hinn white shoes. The point of church, we talked about a few weeks ago. I shared in terms of the way I see the gathered body of Christ on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The first purpose is to worship Jesus Christ. The second is for the edification of the saints.
Yes.
Those are the primary purposes, but they're not the exclusive purposes.
Yeah.
But those are primary. When we take some shape from our gatherings to the way of Jesus's ministry,
mm-hmm.
but not, it's not the only thing that we take, right? So in other words, Jesus's ministry, he ministered to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And often, as he ministered to the masses, there were lots of unbelievers mingled in.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of people that were not his disciples mingled in. Now, that was not that was not on the Lord's day. It wasn't the Sabbath gathering of God's people in the temple.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like the Lord's day gathering, right, of the church. It wasn't the house to house breaking bread together, fellowshipping, praying, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. But I do think it shapes how we understand what might happen on a Sunday morning. In that for me, on the Sunday gathering, I just acknowledge it's similar. It's not altogether different. There are some similarities to Jesus' ministry to the masses.
Yeah.
Let me pivot now over to the promotion material, not including Calvary, not including resurrection, not including. So there's some people, I've got friends that are Baptist pastors, and they choose not to put Baptists in the name of the church. Mm. And their reasoning is, I would rather have a conversation on what kind of church we are than for people to assume they know. Yeah. Right? So there's a principle there, right? Of I want to do what's necessary to be able to have more time with you to discuss things on a more thorough level, to be able to give a deeper explanation. And I don't want to miss out on that opportunity by your first impression.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put a stumbling block as your first impression of what Easter is, so that you hear a word, that you associate it with something, or you don't understand it, you don't know what it means, and it makes you uncomfortable to the degree that you're not even going to come.
Yeah.
Right? So in other words, there's words that are more invitational than other words. Every human being almost does this in their daily life and conversation. I remember a mentor of mine in college, brilliant, brilliant man of God. But I would have to ask him once a week. I would like kindly interrupt him and say, I don't know what that word is you just used. Like, what does that mean? I'm having a conversation with him, and I don't understand what he's saying because he just used a word that is outside my vocabulary.
Yeah.
Well, God gave me the grace to like ask him, what does that word mean, rather than me pretending like I'm not, you know, ignorant, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what does that word mean? I don't know what that word means, right? I do that with Pastor Tim. Like, he'll use a word and I'll be like, what's that? What's that word? You know, like, what is that? What do you mean by that? Like, there's a sense in which we all make choices every day in our communication to communicate intelligibly to our audience. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was a PR major in college. So one of the things I had absolutely drilled into my head is you have multiple publics that you're communicating to. You have multiple audiences. Know your audience and gear your communication appropriately for your audience, right? Like, knowing your audience is really, really important. So this is why your question is married to what is the purpose of church is so critical, right? Here's what I think is happening on days like Easter in churches like Elevation and in churches like ours. Here's what I think is happening. I think what's happening, our church leaders are identifying that here is a day out of the year where many, many people are open to coming to church that are not usually open to coming to church.
Yes.
Right. So it's almost like, here's the way I envision it. It's almost like Jesus is about to arrive in their town. This Jesus who's performed miracles, this Jesus who walked on water, this Jesus who fed the hungry, this compassionate teacher, like that's kind of all they know about him, but he draws a crowd because they're curious to know more. They've heard the buzz. They're hearing about people's lives being changed, so they want to hear more about it.
Yeah.
So I see Easter Sunday being similar to that, in the way we engage our community, of it's almost like Jesus is coming to town and a lot of people are going to come out to hear more about this man that they're curious about that they don't quite know about. So in my mind, if on your opening sentence and in your opening invitation, you use confusing language, unfamiliar language, religiously laden language, then I think you lose the opportunity to clearly preach the gospel, you know, in a way. So for example.
So you're not going to have penal substitutionary atonement theology in your sermon or like, in our invites.
It's funny you said that because that's exactly where my mind went. It's like, okay, we make judgments on what words we will use and what words we won't, right? Yeah. So when I ask you, like you say, what's the point of church? Well, it's worship Jesus and edify the saints. Mm-hmm. Well, an edifying doctrine for the saints is propitiation. Mm. Propitiation. Can you give me a definition of propitiation?
Oh, man. I just think of forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, yeah. Propitiation is an appeasement of God's wrath. Mm. That's what propitiation is. It's an appeasement of wrath.
Yeah.
I've never once ever in any invite to any church in my 46 years of life seen the word propitiation in an invite to church. But it's one of the richest biblical words you can use, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what we just experienced was you going, okay, well, crap, you just put me on the spot. I got to define propitiation. You know, and you took a stab at it, you know, and you were in the ballpark, right? But it's like all the more for somebody that is not yet a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Like if in your invitation to come and hear more about this man that they might be curious about, you use all these words that are not familiar to them, then I think you're foolishly losing a potential opportunity to have them in the room for 30 minutes listening.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Anybody, anytime that they worship at Real Life, they can get up and walk out of the room.
Yeah.
Right? People do it for the bathroom. They do it for the baby. Sometimes they do it if they disagree with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? But I would much rather have a shot at speaking to them for 30 minutes rather than explaining the gospel in the invite to them.
Yeah.
You know, we may be like overkilling this, but I love the question. Part of the reason I love the question is because I was a PR major and you're in advertising. So you and I are geeking out over this.
I love it.
We just already lost half the podcast listeners. Right?
Well, it's like, it's cool. You see this. I just, the thought that came to me was the woman at the well. She has this incredibly vulnerable, intimate interaction with Jesus. And then she goes to the town to basically share the gospel.
Yes.
She doesn't say, hey, Jesus told me about my five marital affairs and all of these like hard things that I'm going to have to deal with. And like these hard things, she said, come see what all this man told. This man told me everything about my life. And it was kind of more vague and inventory, you know, invitational, and say, could this be the Christ? Like all of these things. And so you kind of see that. So I'm with it. I think, like I said, I go back to like, it smells. I'm like, okay, I'm curious. I'm for that. Let's get as much people packed into a room to hear a clear gospel presentation.
Do you think your skepticism has anything to do with what you've already observed from Elevation?
Yeah, and there's some of that. Because you mentioned, like, I agree with you. You get a certain amount of status, you're going to get the target on your back. But I'm like, I'm sure there's videos of people disagreeing with John Piper, but I don't think it's to the level that we see with Stephen Furtick and kind of some of his verbiage and some of his breakthrough, and maybe it's all about us and kind of the me-centric kind of verb, you know, terms that I get from Stephen Furtick.
Right,
I don't see people coming out on John Piper about that. I mean, I'm sure there's people who disagree with his Calvinistic views and stuff.
Oh, they're out there.
But it seems more of like, oh, John Piper's not a false teacher. He's a great teacher of the word, but I just disagree on his view.
You need to Google John Piper, false teacher. Google it.
But you know the amount. If we look at the amount, I'm like, okay, so there has to be something of like, okay, well, why is Stephen Furtick, why is Mike Todd getting all of these videos to where it's like you're almost just asking for it when your Christmas Eve service is almost like a Grammy halftime show.
No, I really appreciate that. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I think to answer your question is because these guys are voices for the rising generation.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, I think Piper's voice is going to be a voice for the ages. I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, in the height of him preaching at the Passion Conferences on college campuses, the debates were fire about John Piper books.
Yeah.
Like there were, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, where that was like a moment, you know, and his influence is still strong, but now you've got these other guys that are more prominent, I think, in the culture at large, in the, even in the church culture at large.
No one knows in our study who John Piper is, I bet.
100%, but they would know in your college
I think
study.
They listen to Mike Todd and they know
exactly
who
exactly
Stephen Furtick is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. So this has been a really fun conversation. Yeah. It's I want to make sure I don't like have any loose hanging ends here. So to be clear, it became widely known and then controversial that Elevation Church was not using words like resurrection, blood, Calvary in their Easter invites. I personally think that in the social media world, people overreacted to that.
I agree.
And made a mountain out of a molehill, right? Yes. It's like classic case of making a big deal out of something that's...
Because we're not using
not
those
a big deal.
Words in our invites, are we?
Right. No, and interestingly enough, when you look at our graphic, it's a very man-centered wording.
Mm-hmm.
Like the words on it are, you are loved.
Yep.
You have purpose. You know, like that kind of thing, right? And why did we do that? Well, it's invitational.
Mm-hmm.
It's invitational, right? Like I can't, it's like the gospel. You can't understand the good news of the gospel without understanding the bad news of the gospel. But in the Easter invite, I can't explain to you the bad news of the gospel. I mean, mm-hmm. I can, but I don't think I can winsomely, mm-hmm. and I don't think I can effectively. Right?
Yeah.
Like in a way that you're going to receive it, be moved by it, right? No, I need to be able to explain it.
Yeah.
I need to be able to, in a crafty way, you know, draw you into the story of the gospel in a way that, yeah. So, you know, it's almost like the Apostle Paul said, you know, some people preach the gospel for like ill motives, but I rejoice that the gospel is being preached.
Gospel's being
right?
preached, yeah.
So, like all kinds of people come to church for ill motives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know how many guys are Christians today because they thought a girl was hot?
Yeah, I went to, that was the only reason I went to a youth group and it was because of a single girl who I never talked to, but I thought she was cute. And I'm like, man, maybe if I sat close enough,
yeah, man,
we could talk to each other.
So Jesus says the harvest is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the laborers are few. So in my mind, I'm like, bring the harvest into the storehouse and let us, empowered by the Spirit of God, do the best that we can preaching the good news of the gospel so that the masses can hear and have an opportunity to turn and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm so fired up about this topic. I could talk all day.
I do. I could too.
I hope we didn't like lead people down a...
No.
Yeah, I hope this has been an edifying conversation. Shoot us a line. Give us a thumbs up or thumbs down. Say too much time on the old. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, just to close, I like how you said the verbiage, and this is exactly what the woman at the well said when she goes into town. She says, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Mm. Can this be the Christ? So
What I thought of when you were saying that earlier is Jesus saying, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. And if that was like the gospel invitation that a particular group of Pharisees heard, they would probably say, Jesus, what about the law?
Yeah.
What about everybody breaking the law?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what, you know, I say this all the time, but one of the things I love about King Jesus is he always knows what the need in the moment is.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes he talks about the kingdom of God. Sometimes he talks about the idols in our heart, right? You know, he told the rich young ruler, go and sell everything that you have,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he wasn't talking to him about sexual immorality.
Yeah.
He was talking to him about the idol in his heart, right? You know, so our prayer for this Sunday is that our church would be empowered to invite their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The one other thing I was going to say about this is like you and I had a discussion about another church today. What I don't want to do is I don't want to lead our people down a path of obsessing over other churches.
Yes.
But obsessing over what's your neighbor's name?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they need today? Do they need a friend? Do they need an invite to church? get to know your neighbor, love them well.
Amen.
Right? Let's not miss the.
Yeah.
So, Lord, would you fill your house this Sunday? Mm-hmm. Would you just fill your house this Sunday? And may the gospel be announced with such power of the Spirit that you arrest every heart. Lord, would you edify the saints? Would you save the lost? Lord, would you manifest your power and presence in our worship gathering mm-hmm. in an undeniable, life-changing, transforming way? Lord, we pray for your agenda, not ours, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Grant, keep it real.
Keep it Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.